Please join me in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 3, please. Proverbs chapter 3, or it is on the projection there in front of you. Please hear the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. Proverbs 3, verse 5, please. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. I do pray the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. As I mentioned earlier, today is Commitment Sunday. It's a thing we do every year, committing our resources to the upcoming budget, which will be presented to you at our upcoming annual meeting in December. Most of the time when we speak of commitment, we are speaking of tithing. And that's a subject that needs to be discussed. It needs to be brought to you. Tithing in general is not a strong part of the church, speaking generally across the board. And so, as I said, there could be adequate time spent to tithing, encouraging us there in that way. But there's a larger issue that sees tithing as a peripheral, and it is our overall commitment to the church, our overall commitment to the Lord, our overall commitment to the conduct of ministries of the church. Commitment. It's not a strength of many today. Commitment to our marriage, commitment to work, commitment to others. Each of these are weaknesses for many people. Today in our society, just the overall commitment and pledging yourself to something is seen lesser and less. Chuck Colson, many, many years ago, wrote, "Certain characteristics are so inherent to Christianity that to neglect them is to become a walking oxymoron or a walking of opposites." A Christian without commitment is such an oxymoron. So I ask the question, are we lacking in this commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the church? Let's look at a few passages that will encourage us here. One I've already given you from Proverbs, but the psalmist writes, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart." Commit your way to the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. To commit your way means the whole course of life. Today in Sunday school, we were speaking of the Christian life and the little book written by John Calvin. And he said that we should love righteousness, that we should pursue holiness. Well, that's commitment. It is committing our whole course of life, all that is of us, our plans, all the issues, the results of those plans should be focused upon the Lord. Looking at our life, as it were, through a Christian worldview, meaning putting the Lord Jesus Christ first and looking through Him, as it were, as a filter and committing our life to Him. This is what our faith is all about. We can say we have faith in Jesus Christ, but does our faith extend into these levels of commitment where we make sacrifices and we stretch ourselves to meet and to be a part of the things of the church? This is faith. And it takes a great act of faith to commit, as we're going to do here in a few moments, a financial obligation. Because none of us knows what next year holds. None of us knows of our health next year. None of us knows of our work, our employment next year. We hope all that stays as it is. But when we step out in faith, we're saying, Lord, you take care of those. I'm obligated and I'm committing here. An act of faith. From Proverbs 16, to humans belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes a proper answer of the tongue. All a person's way seems pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Here in this passage, the writer of the Proverbs moved from the external actions to the motives of the heart. You see, commitment is not first an action. A commitment is our heart. And as I entitled the sermon, stewardship reflects the heart. Commitment reflects the heart. Where are our hearts? Because out of our hearts derive our actions. If our hearts are centered on the good Lord, then we trust him. We have faith in him. And then that heart's in the right place. Inwardly within our hearts, do we trust the Lord? And again, I tell you that stewardship and commitment reflects truly where our hearts are. Psalm 55 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall sustain you. Here I've read several different passages, and it's almost a contractual kind of arrangement, but let us not look at it that way. If you do X, your barns will be filled. If you do Y, your straight paths will be made for you. If you trust the Lord, your burdens will be lighter, and you shall be sustained. We can't quite take that in a contractual, okay, Lord, I did my part, now where are you? Because within the wisdom of the Lord, he does provide for his people. But our trust in him to provide, as he sees necessary, again, is an act of faith. And commitment, again, reflects the heart. We're told of a man in Scripture that could not do this. Matthew 19. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? He's looking for the contract. Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He inquired. Again, he's looking for a contract. I'll do A if you do B. Jesus replied, You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, here the word perfect means complete. If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He wanted a contract. Jesus wasn't interested in a contract. He was wanting a man's heart. And as been said, it's hard for the wealthy to commit. And it's not wealth that entraps. And as the scripture tells us, it's the love of money, not money. Wealth is not a sin, but the love of that perceived safety is what this young man had, and he wasn't willing to give it up to let Jesus have his heart. Commit, the man of Matthew 19 did not. Why is this level of commitment such a cornerstone, such a necessity, such a reflection, needed reflection in the church? Why is this little level of commitment called for by the Christian? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul writes, For I resolve to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, there's the reason. Look at the cross. It is at the cross you see Jesus and his commitment to you. It is on the cross that you see Jesus and his heart. It is on the cross you see Jesus and his love and his commitment to you, your salvation, your freedom, your eternity, your life is all wrapped up in his commitment on that cross. And so when we come today and commit, we are revealing our heart, and it is a heart of love for what commitment Jesus Christ has made to us. It is simply a response. Has your heart been affected to to the level of response that would bring honor and glory to our Lord. Proverbs 37. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Again, commit your ways to the Lord. Commitment and stewardship is really a matter of the heart. As I've said, it reflects our hearts. In our tithing, yes. But in our commitment in general, to the ministries of the church, to being a part of the body of Christ in the church, not just showing up occasionally, but being the church. It shows our heart. Where are our hearts? What are the priorities? Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You could restate it by saying, where your heart is, reveals your treasure. Proverbs 3:9, once again, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. As I said, we see it often as merely a matter of money, stewardship, money to God, money to the church, the giving of tithes and offering. Those are important. Those are important. But those are secondary. Those are secondary. Stewardship, commitment reflects my heart. Am I grateful? Do I understand the commitment the Lord has made to me? How does it reflect in my life? Yes, tithes and offering, but work in the church, obedience, loving each other as we've sung of. All of this reflects our heart. The question is simple this morning. Where is our heart? Where is our heart? Let's pray together. Father, touch our hearts. Touch our hearts and draw us ever nearer, ever closer to you. And let us at this time make that commitment. Yes, in our financial resources for the coming year, but let us commit our hearts and our lives to you personally. And then through the work of the church, through the work of the ministries outside the church, Father, touch our hearts. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen.